This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
It's a Thursday morning at exactly 7:45. What happens at 7:45? We get to spend some quality time with Dr. Wendy Christen, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful that we get to continue the series because instead of just having one little quick chat about something, I think you are really laying a very firm foundation here for all of us to cover the essentials around building that foundation for good health. We've dealt with food and movement. We've looked at water intake and sleep. I mean, these really are the pillars, right, of good health in general.
Yes, absolutely. And if we don't lay those foundations, it's going to be very difficult to sustain them. We really have to think about what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and what are the basics.
I think you've said the word sustain, because we don't want to just try something new or do something now because we're desperate. Maybe we want to lose weight for a special occasion. I don't know. You know how we can be sometimes. We do these things, we rush into it, give it all, and then a week later we're sort of back to the way we were. Then we deal with frustration and guilt, don't we? So you've said something important. Lay that foundation, make the small changes for our listeners. Go back and check out the podcast so you'll know what we're talking about. And then we can actually sustain it because it's realistic, and that's really what we need.
Yes, I think that's what you said now is also important, is the realistic aspect of that. Because if we set goals for ourselves that are not realistic, it's also not going to be something that we're going to be able to sustain or maintain.
So today we're starting talking around stress. Ay, 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 this is a biggie. We all struggle with it, but it isn't something that we necessarily have all the time. Sometimes it comes and goes. Other people, depending on what you do for a living, it kind of can hang around for a while, but we have to get that under control, right?
Yes, I think stress is probably one of the biggest factors that influences our well-being. And one of the consistencies, you know, as you said, it's not there all the time necessarily, but I often see a lot of people that are more stressed than they should be. And if they aren't able to manage that stress and how they perceive the stress and how their bodies cope with it, then it undoes almost all the health things that they're trying to do. So if we can't get the stress thing right, then that is going to have a negative influence on our well-being.
Sometimes it feels with stress, though, like we don't have much control over it. We're stuck in the traffic and you just sit there gridlocked. Or
can do is we can control how we respond to that and what we do in between. If we are putting de-stressing measures in place, then we will be able to cope with that a whole lot more and better. And it'll make it less stressful on our bodies as well.
Would how we do the other things we've already spoken about have an effect on our stress? How we move, how we eat, how we sleep, and how we hydrate. Those are the ones we've dealt with in detail so far. Would doing those well contribute also to managing stress better?
Absolutely. I think probably the most important would be our nutrition and our sleep. Because if you haven't eaten well and if you haven't slept well, you are not going to be able to manage your stress. That's just going to be impossible, because if you're eating an unhealthy diet, your blood sugar is going to fluctuate all over the place, and that means your nervous system is going to be fluctuating.
Yes.
And if you haven't slept, you aren't able to regulate yourself as effectively. Mm. So those two, I would say, are the most important. Exercise is a stress reliever. So doing that is going to be one of the measures that you put in place to help alleviate the stress. And then making sure you're hydrated. Just make sure that your body is able to cope and function as well as it needs to.
So can you maybe share a few more practical tips that we can exercise throughout the course of the day somewhere, somehow, that could help us to manage stress better?
Yeah, so taking regular breaks throughout the day is helpful. You know, even if you just go move away from your desk, go and take a few deep breaths somewhere, maybe go outside if you can, if there's an outside environment, breathe in some fresh air, look around, look at the nature around you, and then come back inside. It'll help you, you know, to refocus and to re-energize you. The deep breathing exercises, there's all sorts of different techniques that you can follow. So you can do box breathing, which is breathing in for the count of five, holding for the count of five, breathing out for a count of five, and holding again for another five. So you go around in a box. Other ways to breathe is you breathe in. There's like a 4-6-8 method, which you breathe in for the count of four, you hold for six, and then you breathe out for five, for eight. So your out breath is longer than your in breath. Mm-hmm. And you can do that every time you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, when you're walking along to go and switch the kettle on, those are things that you can do while you're sitting at your desk. You can just push your chair back and close your eyes and do a few deep breathing exercises. So that really, really helps. And then on the weekends or when you do have time, spend some time in nature and prioritize social connections, because those social connections really help us to regulate our nervous systems and to help us cope with stress.
I noticed something. I know you have mentioned this somewhere along the line. Where I sit in our office just next to the studio, we can look out on some other businesses. And directly below where I see are the group that collect, it feels like every hour, to have a smoke break. And I thought, although the fact that they are smoking, they're outside. And everybody else who's choosing not to smoke is all still stuck inside, busy working. So we might not necessarily smoke, but I mean, surely what's wrong with us just grabbing 5 minutes every few hours just to go outside and breathe in some fresh air and have a bit of a stretch? I mean, surely that would serve us well. If others are using it for maybe not health reasons, we could use it for health reasons.
Yes, and that's exactly it. So if you think about what smokers are doing, apart from the fact that they're inhaling nicotine, they are taking people with them. So there's a social aspect. They're going outside.
Yeah.
They are doing deep breathing because they are breathing in with each inhalation of the cigarette. And they are spending a little bit of time outdoors. They have an absolute break away from their desk, and they have an excuse to do that. So those of us that don't smoke should take smoke breaks, but just go outside, take those few deep breaths, have a look at nature, maybe take a buddy with so you can just have a quick chat, and then you come back out, go back in again.
Mm.
And I think that could make a remarkable difference to our day.
Yeah, I like that. I just wanted to say, you've mentioned the box breathing. I was very curious about the box breathing, so I went onto YouTube just to see, did a bit of a search, and there are some outstanding little short videos where you just follow along with the person. There's a very calming voice, and you can see the box or the square being drawn out on the screen and someone telling you to breathe and how to do it. It's, although obviously you can do it without that, just following along with someone, I found that to be massively beneficial and rather enjoy box breathing.
Yes, it does help a lot, because you've actually got to focus when you box breathe to remember which are you supposed to be breathing in, out, or holding. So it really does take your mind off everything else. So the YouTube thing is lovely, where somebody guides you through it. The other thing is you can print a little tool off Google as well, where you have the box and then you use your finger and you start at the bottom. And as you go up, you know, as you breathe in, you go up the box. As you hold, you go across the box, and that's how you follow it. So there's all sorts of ways that will help you to be able to do that.
Yeah, it works exceptionally well. I've done it even lying in bed when suddenly your mind gets flooded with stuff and you feel, am I feeling anxious now? What's going on? Ooh, box breathing time. And you find yourself calming. Yeah. It's amazing. Continue with this. When we look at this year ahead, and we're already coming, can you believe it, to the end of January, we have a lot of things that we want to achieve. We sit down and we write these big, scary goals for ourselves, even around our health. And sometimes we can be a little bit unrealistic with the goals that we set ourselves. Is there a danger to wanting to do something too big or too fast or too far too quickly?
Yes, that is a definite factor. So if we set goals that are not realistic, it's going to be disappointing. We're going to feel discouraged, and it's going to set us back. We're just going to give up because it's just going to be too difficult. So, you know, if, for example, you have 40 kilograms to lose and your goal is to lose 40 kilograms in 3 months, maybe you need to relook at that, because it's not really a realistic goal. If you're going to do it in a sustainable way that you're going to keep the weight off and you're going to adjust your lifestyle around that, that's probably going to take a year or more. But you can aim to, you know, your end goal can be that you need to lose 40 kilos, but you can lose maybe 5 a month, which is a lot more realistic. And it makes it, you know, you as you go along and you see, okay, the weight is coming down, you're not discouraged because you can see that there is movement.
It seems like a very psychological thing, something like weight loss or getting fitter, even if you say, I want to be able to walk around the block, or I want to run 5Ks, or I want to do a half marathon, because all of these things actually take quite a bit of time as our bodies adjust and as we start to work these things out. Because we wake up the next day and we look the same as we did the day before, even though we ate right and went to the gym or ran or whatever. So we have to be realistic about these things, as you say. But it does seem to me, though, that these things do take time. And it's for those who are prepared to stick it out that really get to see the benefits of good health.
Yes, that's exactly it. It takes time and it takes effort, because it is difficult to make a change, especially if you are used to doing just whatever you feel like doing, and that's not necessarily the healthiest way.
Yeah. So we've got to be prepared for the long haul. But once the changes start coming, that's when the confidence builds, I believe, and that's when you realize this is actually possible. So we'll continue and wrap things up next week as we're having these very important conversations around some of these massive pillars that are going to carry us into a year of sustainable, sensible, and realistic good health, together with Dr. Wendy Christen, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. I'm enjoying myself with you as always. Loving our chat today. The podcast will be up for our listeners to share later on. If you've missed the previous parts of the series, it's all there on kpulpit.co.za. Dr. Wendy, thank you really very, very much, and have yourself a fantastic Thursday.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.